I'm being told to go to the hotline because there's a famous person on the hotline now. Let me see. The hotline's only for... This is top-notch, this hotline. Hello? Welcome?
Hello?
Hi. Is this Scott Thompson?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome. Good. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
It's very... I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, let's see. How about now?
Is it all over your face? Is someone trying to smother you?
No, no. I'm talking...
Oh.
What? How about?
Oh my God! It's me. Someone's trying to smother me.
Oh no! Look out!
It's all right.
Watch. How about now? Can you hear me any better now? Is this better?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
That's what I do all the time. I'm just like,
yeah. I mean, even if I don't, it just, you know what? It's a placebo. Yes, I do. The placebo effect is working.
Sure. People say to me, "How are you doing?" And I'll just say, "Let's just say I'm fine."
There we go. Let's just say I hear you perfectly.
Yes, great. Well, thank you for calling in, Scott, and congratulations on all of your many accomplishments, the latest of which is your new album,
Thank You.
Not a Fan.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
And I heard it, and it's really funny.
Oh, you actually listened to it.
Of course I did.
Well, because, you know, in this new modern era of, like, publicity, I've been doing a ton of podcasts, and... very few of them have actually listened to it, and you end up being on a podcast about depression or cancer, and next thing you know, they're triggering you and you're in tears. So it's a lot. So it's nice to hear that you actually did listen to it. Yes.
Yeah. So you're on a thing. You're talking all about being sick and doing all this stuff and crying, and then you're just like, yeah, I got a new album. They're like, yeah, we didn't listen to it though.
Exactly, because the album is all that stuff with all the pain, you know, filtered out, and I'm like, oh no, just go to the comedy.
No, the album is really great, and it is interesting to see how you took on the themes you take on throughout it, and frame it in the context of being funny, and also of you being funny doing it. It's definitely you taking on your own life and kind of making it all funny in the way you do other things.
I just think that comedy, there's nothing comedy can't touch. There's nothing too dark for comedy, and if you give it enough time and you work hard enough, you'll be able to make anything seem funny.
Yeah, and look, the title track, I don't want to say what it is, but when you know the album's called...
I know what you're talking about,
If you hear the album's called Not a Fan, and then you're wondering what that is, just listen to the album, and it'll be like, oh my God, that's how that album...
It's the punchline,
yes.
I thought you called that the title track. I didn't realize that, but I guess it is the title track.
I didn't even think. I was just listening to it, and then it just...
Oh my God.
Yeah, halfway through the album, the title shows. Track. Oh, it's so funny.
Thanks.
So what is the road that takes you from all these different things to now getting on stage and doing this?
Well, you know, I've always dabbled with stand-up, but I never took it on as an actual career or an art form because it wasn't really available to a person of my ilk years ago. You couldn't really be open about who you were, and the kind of comedy that I would like to do, you couldn't really stand on stage and be a gay man. It wasn't possible until very recently, and unless you wanted to, like, just work in, like, the ghetto circuit, you know what I mean? Like, just gay circuit, because that could be done.
Sure, you can address your comedy to a culture and to a crowd, and then but you're always going to play to just that crowd.
Absolutely, yes. But now it's different. People are much more open, and I don't feel that tension anyway. And I mean, when I was at the Kids in the Hall, once I met the Kids in the Hall, that was it. I wasn't doing anything else but them for a long, long time. But when I first started out, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, but I tried it a few times, and it was a terrible experience. Both all of them, they were abusive from the audience and the comedians. And I went, I can't handle this. Mm-hmm. This is the 80s, okay? This is a very different time.
Sure.
And then I found the Kids in the Hall very soon after, and that was it. But after I got cancer 8-9 years ago, when I got better, I decided that I had nothing really to be afraid of, that life had tried to kill me over and over again, and it wasn't able to, and the world had changed enough that I could stand on stage and be myself and not hide behind a character, which I've always done, and I still continue to do, but I thought, I can do this properly, so I just thought, well, I kind of want to remake myself and be rediscovered, so I'm going to I'm going to reinvent my career. So that's what I did. I just thought, I'm going to start over again. And I was in Canada because I had to go home for the health care. Mm-hmm. And I stayed to reinvent myself because I thought, well, in Canada, even though people know me, there's no star system. So they're going to allow me to completely go back to the clubs and work in anonymity until I'm ready and an American is ready to look at me.
Sure.
So that's what I've done.
Well, it's exciting because there is such a, when you work in a group, when any of these, any kind of collaborative thing, it's mm-hmm. like there's a safety in that and there's a comfort in that, mm-hmm. you know, people have your back. But there's yeah. also that sharing of the ball that you have to yeah. kind of do. But for you to now just be like, yeah, I'm going out there all alone, completely exposed, but anything, there's nothing between what's in your head and what's coming out of your mouth and going to the audience. You know what I'm saying?
No, you can't blame Bruce for having an off day or Dave for being hungover or whatever. You just can't. And you can't, you know, like in a group, you can always have one person off. But when it's just you, you can't really be off. And if you are off, you have to fake it. And sometimes, that's why I think people love to see viral videos of comedians losing it. But I look at them with empathy and I go, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, I guess because you have to, yeah, it's there's no looking at the other guy and just being like, yeah, I'm not in it tonight. You got to carry this.
There
thing.
Is a little bit of that, yes. Yeah. But we're not allowed to have bad days. But, you know, it's been a real thrill for me. I'm really enjoying it, and it's something that I've always wanted to do. Like, I mean, I've dabbled. I used to do something called Uncabaret all the time, Beth Lapidus' show, and I would do one-person shows, et cetera, but they would not be stand-up. They would be characters, and I'd go into a bit, and I'd go into another character. So they weren't stand-up. Stand-up, to me, is a very different, very pure form. Where it's just you, your personality, like a distillation of your personality in front of an audience. And it's fascinating. But because I think they're really always, the audience really kind of wants you to, they want you to succeed or really fail.
Yeah. Some people want to be there for the night yeah. that Scott Thompson lost it and they got yes. to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's definitely a possibility.
Oh, I'm sure there's people who just go, it's like, hey, you know that night Michael Richards was on stage?
Oh, God,
it's
yeah.
Like, if anybody was in that room, they're telling that story every night of their life. That
well,
they
exactly.
were...
Lewis's career, he should have gotten a bigger career. So much joy to those people. When you really think about it, like, everybody who was in that room, it's true, is dining out on that story.
Yeah, so, for years, it's like, I got to
funny.
See that. I saw that guy lose millions of dollars in front of my eyes.
Were you there?
No, I'm saying, people
oh,
are saying
oh, I
that.
See. I thought you were bragging.
Oh, please, yeah. I wish I was.
I mean, that would be worth its weight in gold. And even if I was black, I'd be like, it was worth it.
Watch.
Uh-oh, gone too far.
No. Look. Now, what is the difference? When you do your Buddy Cole show, how is that different to take ideas and things and fit?
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, like, I'm pretty out there. I don't really hedge my bets. But even I'm afraid of certain things, especially in this day and age. But Buddy is not afraid of anything. He just doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And, It's incredible. Being Buddy now is such a joy because I get to say whatever I want, and if people are offended, I just move on. And it's like, it's a character. So they allow him to do a lot more. And I also think that, oh, sure, like, I'm a white man, and white men aren't allowed to say anything, but I'm a gay man. And I'm not just a gay man. I'm an older gay man. So my generation had it so bad. Like, we suffered like hell. So in this new world of, like, who suffered the most, we kind of win. So it gives me this freedom that no white man in comedy in my generation has. And it's a thrill, and it's weird. I feel bad, but I'm like, wow. Oh, man, this is great. But Buddy can do anything. And everybody says to me, you can't say that. You can't say that, but I go, but I just did. And the person that you would think would be offended is the one laughing the most. So that's why that I'm onto something. I really feel that the public is really wanting this kind of tiptoeing around in comedy to end.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Wickenburg and I love drinking my wine.
I sure do.
Yeah, I think there's a I think there's an adjustment. Things need to shake out in certain ways, and people. I'm glad people are speaking up and saying things that where they never had a voice. But there's also it's just the line is being defined while we're living with the line being defined.
I am one of those people that has been denied a voice in many ways. I've never been able to go to that next level. And when I say it's gone too far, people should listen to when a minority says it's gone too far.
Yeah. No, look, you were in the trenches on this.
I was first through the door. So I'm wounded. I'm missing a leg. So I get to say a few things.
Exactly. And you can do it the way with Buddy. It's almost like a ventriloquist act where people, they blame it on the dummy. These guys, when the ventriloquist, it's like, hey, you can't say that. This audience is, these are nice people. You can't talk that way to them.
Unlike me, like I still have that wall between my emotions and my comedy. It's amorphous. It can be breached. And when that wall is breached, usually in my mind, in comedy, when emotion breaches the wall, it destroys comedy. But Buddy's wall is as thick as the wall Trump wants to build. Like, it's impenetrable. So it's like no matter what, he can't be thrown because he separated it. So like, he separated his emotions and his thinking so clearly that it's funny because if it was me and I got in trouble or I said something that might have gone too far, I might feel like a lurch in my stomach, but no, not Buddy. All Buddy hears is the word is charge.
Yeah, and you just go. Yeah, everybody else is going the other way, and Buddy's
exactly what? Yeah. Into the breach. Yeah.
Everybody
into
else is running away. Well, that's exciting. That's an exciting thing, and it's a thing that you can go back to over and over. They have this character that grows with you throughout your life. You have this.
It really is. I go, fuck, I can't believe I waited all this time for this. And it just feels like, oh, this is the perfect time for me. It would have been nice if I was younger, but you know what? I think I'm just really enjoying it now that I, in a way that I wouldn't have.
Exactly. Now you at least you have some appreciation for things, and it's just.
Yeah.
It's just like when you realize that there's not an infinite amount of times at bat. I think then you appreciate every time at bat.
Absolutely. Which is weird because in comedy, everyone's like, so many comedians are like just, they're so sad about everything, they can't function. I'm like, I don't really feel like that because for me, it's like, I've been through such a rocky, I've had such a rocky life that now I feel like my plane is just, you know, cruising altitude. I'm into the light. So I'm having the time of my life.
Sure.
It feels bad to say it, but I'm having a great time.
You're allowed to, but think about this. It's like when you think of the people who, where their thing popped, and look, you had a lot of success with Kids in the Hall at a very young age.
Yes,
and there's a whole interesting thing with that of something defining you at such a young age that you kind of.
Yes, I was in my 20s,
That kind of follows you, and there's something. Look, there's something nice that people care about a thing that long.
Oh, and I'm proud of it. Yes.
Yeah, that you can exactly. It's something you're proud of that they care about. There's kind of nothing better than you can't ask for more than that to have a thing that you like doing.
Yeah.
They care about you guys. Can all go back to it and then go do your own things and kind of regather when the time is right. But there's something that it wasn't like the world's most. It wasn't like a show. It wasn't like In Living Color where it was like 40 million people were watching it.
No. No, everything I've ever, everything, all as a whole, everything, all five of us as a group and as individuals have all been solidly cold.
Yeah, and you, but you've been able to. You I think another thing when you realize when you start getting older, you realize there's people who hit their thing hot early, and then now they're just in the shadow of the thing forever.
Absolutely.
You get to kind of go up a step each time through your whole life. It's like, that's infinite. That sounds like that's the better deal every way, right?
And yet you don't realize that. When I was young, I just thought, I want to be a superstar. And I was furious that it didn't happen. I'm furious that because of who I was, it stopped me from going to that next level that I felt I should go to. But now I look at those people that in my generation of comedians and actors that did very, very well and became huge. And I see them now struggling to remain relevant. You know what I mean? Struggling to apologize for their money and their power. And I'm going, oh, I don't have to do any of that.
No, you're in it, and you're a valid creative force. Now,
pardon me?
You're a valid creative force at this point in your life. They wish they could have that again.
Well, it's true. I don't think I'm kidding myself, but I kind of go, I'm kind of relevant. I don't have to. It's weird.
No, it's great.
And that's thrilling. And I look at so many people with all their money and power and giant homes and go, God, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I wouldn't trade where I am for the world.
No, it's really an exciting thing because you're here for the thing that made you want to do it in the first place, which was being funny, being creative, and that's still why you're
here. And learning something new and learning new skills and still just trying to, like, be part of the conversation. That's all I ever really wanted. And I feel like I'm on the verge of it happening again, or maybe for the first time ever, really. It's real.
No, it's a very exciting thing, and this is something you it did not come easy, but it's where you're at. You took your lumps. You're riding the ride.
You know what? Yeah, you don't know what people have suffered. You can't tell. You have no idea what anyone's been through. You just have no idea.
Because look, I got this guy who screens calls for me out there. This guy, Mike. He's falling apart, right? I think it's a polite way of saying it. Mike, is that fair to say? He's still mad that the Grateful Dead broke up. He's been lost ever since Jerry Garcia died. He's been lost.
Right.
But it's like 20 years now. This guy's been adrift. But not like. But that's not where you're at. You're at a place.
No, so look, I got over the Grateful Dead. I was angry that the Grateful Dead were formed originally. That's what made me furious.
He's gonna be mad now. I'm gonna have to calm him down for 20. Because you said that it's gonna be a half hour after the show of me talking him down from you saying you're mad the Grateful Dead formed. Mike, Scott didn't mean that. He said that. And he's out there. You know what he's drinking tonight? Kirkland Light. Do you know what that? That's the beer they sell at Costco. So this is what I'm
a hard time hearing you.
Yeah. So now you wish you couldn't hear me. Well, Scott, look, this is such a joy to have you call in and be a part of this. And
thank you. Yes. You know, Tavy Phillips, who's the queen of the kids in the hall. I'm sure she's listening. I don't know. Are you live? You're not live, are you? Are you?
Oh, yes. We're live. She's listening. Tavy's great.
And she's been begging me to do it, so I thought, I'm gonna do it.
No,
I've heard tons about it, so I'm thrilled I'm finally doing it.
She's awesome. Kevin did it a couple years ago. Now you're in, so we're going down the checklist. And thank you for doing that. And the album is really funny. It's called
Not
a Fan. And what is the label? Comedy Dynamics?
Comedy Dynamic, yeah.
Yeah, it's really great, and people should listen to it. And where can people find out what you're doing?
On iTunes.
Okay, people get it on iTunes. Are you going around? Yep. Are you doing shows?
Yes, I will. I'm going to Montreal tomorrow, actually, for 7 days.
Okay, so people keep an eye out.
I'll be doing the Buddy Cole show at Près des Luges for a week.
It's really exciting, and I'm so glad you're where you're at right now, and it's all deserved.
Tom.
All right, you take care, and we will talk soon.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, bye. That was exciting.